Energy, House Special Committee on Energy to order. Co-chair Culver and Representative Vasquez, co-chair, is with us. Representative Klayman, Representative Taurico, a few of our members, Rep. Tilton and Wool, were excused. They won't be able to make it today. Today we're we are teleconferencing, so please silence your phones. We're going to hear from Alaska Housing Finance Corporation regarding the state's energy efficiency programs. Energy efficiency, we have been very successful in lowering the cost of energy for Alaskans through reducing demand of energy, and is one of the most cost-effective immediate ways to lower consumers' energy bills. So the state has had a very successful program with a rebate program and weatherization of commercial and public buildings that we're going to learn about today. And so we do have John Anderson and Jimmy Ord from Alaska Housing to please come up and to present a PowerPoint presentation to the committee today. Also present from Alaska Housing in the room is Terry Boland, Government Affairs. And we have online Eric Havelock with Alaska Housing, the multifamily underwriter, if we have questions. He's online for questions. So with that, please, our presenters, please introduce yourself and state your name for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Co-Chair and Madam Co-Chair, members of the committee. John Anderson, I'm the Director of Research and Rural Development for Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. And we want to thank you for the opportunity to come present and provide an update to the energy programs. We have a fairly in-depth PowerPoint presentation. And if there's not any opening questions, I will let Jimmy introduce himself and we'll get started.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Jimmy Ord. I'm the Program Information Manager for AHFC's Research and Rural Development Department. So the plan today is to give you a broad overview of our energy programs and dive into a little bit of the details, the processes, how the programs work, the successes, and the benefits. So if you have any questions during the presentation, feel free to ask. But I will let you know that there is a lot of information contained in the PowerPoint, so your questions may be answered somewhere there within. So Alaska Housing Finance Corporation is a public corporation. As you know, it provides housing, finance, and energy programs. It was established in 1971, and our mission is to provide Alaskans access to safe, quality, and affordable housing. Now, in order to fulfill that mission, AHFC focuses on several key areas. Bonds, we issue bonds, we provide residential loans, manage competitive grants to developers of affordable housing and special needs populations. We operate public housing in Alaska by utilizing U.S. Housing and Urban Development funds and manage federal and state-funded energy efficiency programs. AHFC primarily focuses on the demand side, so energy efficiency, whereas, for example, the Alaska Energy Authority focuses more on the supply side.
Just a second, if you would. For the record, Rep. Nagyak has joined us. Welcome,
Thank
Representative.
You.
So the following is a list of topics that we're going to cover today: energy efficiency framework, the infrastructure that AHFC has to run our programs, the home programs we offer, the public programs we offer, as well as the tools for homeowners, some of the partnerships we have with organizations to run our programs, and then why an efficiency-first approach is a good approach. First, the following infrastructure measurement tools are really at the heart of what AHFC does in providing Alaskans access to safe, quality, affordable housing. It all started in 1992 with legislation that was enacted establishing a building energy standard for the state, as well as construction guidelines for any home seeking financing with Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. And our framework really starts with the Building Energy Efficiency Standard, which we also call in the industry BEES. BEES sets standards for thermal resistance, air leakage, moisture protection, ventilation. All new homes that receive AHFC financing that happened after January 1st, 1992 must meet our Building Energy Efficiency Standard and our construction guidelines if AHFC financing is involved. That Building Energy Standard is made up of the 2012 International Energy Conservation Code, the American Society of Heating, Refrigeration, Air Conditioning Engineers ventilation documents, and then Alaska-specific amendments to both of those documents. And the new BEES, which is in place right now, became effective July 1st, 2013, and is a 5-star energy-rated home. So in order to manage and oversee the building energy efficiency standard, we needed to create an energy rating infrastructure. And this infrastructure provides all of the steps necessary to evaluate and score a home's energy performance, like creating a star rating system, 1 star up to a 6-star energy efficient home. This includes establishing an energy rater network and building and maintaining a comprehensive energy modeling software, which we call ACORM. So ACORM was first created in 1996 and is continuously updated. The weather data that is in ACORM is continuously updated, is designed for Alaska. The fuel costs and utility costs are updated on a regular basis. The ACORM energy modeling software is free, is available to anyone who wants to download it. Now you have to be an authorized energy rater in order to issue an official energy rating certificate, but the software is free and is designed for Alaska. One of the biggest benefits of the home energy rating system that Alaska Housing and the state has is that everyone knows what a 5-star, 6-star home is. We have one system across the state. It's an established system. It's the preferred system that energy raters like, builders like, and the industry likes. Having a good system across the state provides good data. And speaking of good data, one of the tools the HFC has is a database. It's called the Alaska Retrofit Information System. This stands behind the scenes collecting valuable housing information. Every time an energy rating is done, this information goes into this database. Things like number of bedrooms, square footage of a home, what type of heating system is in a home. All of these metrics are compiled in the Alaska Retrofit Information System. In fact, it contains nearly 75,000 records of homes in the state. That's 1 in 3 of the occupied housing units in Alaska has a record in the ARIS database. So with this valuable information, we can answer questions about housing characteristics, program effectiveness, energy end use. One of the largest studies that came out of the ARIS database that Alaska Housing put together was the 2014 Alaska Housing Needs Assessment, which we published last spring. So this report is the fifth time that it was produced. The first one dates back to the late 80s, and it provides a regional, statewide, and community look at the major factors affecting housing throughout the state, allowing policymakers, funding agencies, housing agencies, and the housing authorities and others interested good information to make good decisions. Factors such as overcrowding, affordability, energy use, and how Alaskans compare with the rest of the U.S. are all analyzed and presented. Alaska is very unique, as we know, and our housing is very unique. Alaskans in rural communities face aging infrastructure, high energy costs, transportation and accessibility concerns for new and existing housing. Urban communities, they may benefit from economies of scale, but still suffer from high mortgage and rents, overcrowding, and energy inefficient housing that was built when energy prices were low. So what makes this 2014 assessment unique is that we did not conduct phone surveys, which the previous assessments did. Rather, we used the information contained in the ARIS database. So the tens of thousands of energy ratings across the state, we gathered that information on the building characteristics to be able to put this study together. What that does is it allows us to create a baseline and a set of metrics that we can use for future studies to be able to compare housing as the time goes on. So the screenshot you see on the slide behind me depicts a community level look, but also regional and statewide breakdowns. And the complete assessment of and the more than 1,200 pages are available on our website at hfc.us. And if you would ever have any questions as you dive into the report, we're always available for questions. Moving on to another tool Alaska Housing has for the energy efficiency industry.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Kleeman.
So before we, not having seen the 1,200-page study or report, can you give us a kind of a quick overview of where that, what that shows? Are we getting better, getting worse? What kind of trends are we seeing in terms of efficiency in buildings? And I'm not asking for like a 15-minute response, but just sort of a 1 or 2-minute summary.
Through the chair, Representative Kleeman. A couple of the outcomes that we have from that report, I'll just give you, for example, there are 75,000 homes in Alaska are considered cost burdened. There are 15,000 homes that are considered overcrowded throughout the state. And I believe the statistic is nearly one in three households are spending more than the federally suggested maximum of 30% of their total income on housing costs. So, you know, the information contained in that report is quite good and staggering, but it's not insurmountable. We do have programs and services that can directly affect some of the outcomes from that report.
Yeah, follow up on Rep. Klayman's question. You said that 33% of Alaska households are spending more than the federal threshold. This is kind of like mortgage lending number, the 30% on their housing. Is that due to the income level of the homeowner, or is that energy costs has pushed that up so high, like in the bush and in the interior?
Mr. Chairman, John Anderson, we believe it's a combination of both. Energy costs are the main driving factor to that, but of course income is as relevant and important to the statistics coming out of the American Survey census information. And if I could follow up on the assessment, we do have an executive summary that really summarizes the entire document. It is a very lengthy, it's an electronic book. It's very user-friendly, but there is an executive summary that really will dive into those details for you.
Mr. Chairman,
can we have that executive summary sent to us, for that matter, for each member on the Energy Committee?
Through the Chair, Co-Chair Vasquez, yes, ma'am.
For the record, we may have additional questions once we see that executive summary. Okay. As of what date is that executive summary, the data in that summary?
I believe it is April of 2014.
Yeah. Representative Klayman.
I'm following up through the chair. It sounds like we've got challenges and they are continuing to go forward, but the actual question I was inquiring in terms of efficiency, what progress have we made since the program started? Are we seeing a trend towards more energy-efficient homes, and what kind of improvement are we finding?
Through the chair, Representative Klayman, I believe the question is from the start of the large influx of funding since 2008 regarding the rebate and weatherization program.
Sure.
And to date, we've accomplished over 40,000 retrofits of both of those programs in a reduction of an average of 30% energy reductions to each unit.
Through the chair, Representative Klayman, this is Jimmy Ord. To expand upon what John was mentioning, for example, the housing stock in Juneau, houses built pre-1940 were considered a one-star energy rating, and houses built 2005 or later on average are built at a four-star energy efficiency level. So yes, the housing efficiency level has increased over the last 40, 50, 60 years, absolutely. And that same metric is seen in other communities throughout the state.
Thank you. Please continue.
Moving on to another tool that Alaska Housing has developed for the energy efficiency industry is a building monitoring system. Now, this is primarily for commercial and public buildings. The goal of building monitoring is to provide up-to-the-minute, real-time data of how your building is operating, whether it's energy use or simple lighting sensors that let you know when the lights are on or off. AHFC has installed this system in our headquarter building in Anchorage, as well as several of our public housing apartment complexes throughout the state. The screenshot you see on the slide is what one of the dashboards looks like for our Glacier View complex in Seward. This Glacier View building was having trouble getting some hot water to some of the back apartments, and the issue was at a standstill. The designer was pointing to the contractor, and the contractor was pointing back to the designer. However, once a building monitoring system was installed, we were able to troubleshoot the issues, and turned out that both the designer and the contractors were able to find areas of improvement to fix the issue. So not only is it a good energy-saving tool, it could also be a troubleshooting tool as well. One of the simplest benefits that I like of the building monitoring system is for our public housing maintenance staff. Now they no longer have to drive around to the public housing apartment complexes on cold days to make sure things are working properly and haven't frozen up. They can sit back at their desk and look at on-screen inputs and be able to make sure everything's functioning properly.
Mr. Ord, is that system something that's scalable down to individual investors that have numerous, let's just say, commercial properties or residential properties, and work off like cell phone network rather than having to have a dedicated internet line to? You always want to know when your heat goes out in your rental properties and whatnot, or your commercial buildings, and also monitoring, you know, water pressure and these kinds of things.
Chairman Culver, John Anderson, and your answer is yes. We are working on smaller systems. We have several installed in some fourplex units that we are continuing doing development on. And another thing with the software is we are in the process of legal review to open source what we have developed so we can put it out so anybody can go access what we've already developed and they can continue doing further development on that.
What's the medium of, is it, can you work it with through the cellular rather than just having to have an internet connection and a laptop there? Or, I mean, how simple can this be?
Mr. Chairman, the answer is yes. As long as you have internet connectivity, you can access it through an iPad or your cellular phone to continue watching the various graphs or the dashboard of a particular building. And the nice thing about the software and the code is once we open source it, someone can go in and actually develop it for their purposes. So this dashboard that you're looking at is behind us is set up specifically for that building, but it can be modified through the development of, and it's becoming very, very popular, this monitoring software.
Thank you.
To the chair, this is Jimmy Ord, and just one final comment on John's. There are specific units you could buy for strictly residential homes if you wanted to remotely monitor your home's energy use.
Madam Co-Chair.
Are any state office buildings using this monitoring system or plan to use it?
Through the chair, Madam Co-Chair, the answer is yes. We have, I believe that there are approximately 15 various state buildings with AHFC. I'm not 100% sure. We're incorporating a few of them with the Department of Transportation on a couple of their projects also. We also have a collaborative effort with ANTHC, the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, that has about 17 buildings also, and they've actually done some co-development with us on the software to tailor specifically to their water and sewer facilities that they're in charge of. So again, it's a very dynamic tool, and we're proud of that one, and I think it's going to become a very useful industry model as we move forward.
Moving on to some of AHFC's home programs, most notably the home energy rebate and weatherization programs. Both have been successful at increasing a home's efficiency and comfort level, as well as stimulating the economy by providing jobs and increased energy cost savings to homeowners and renters. So about the same time, the state enacted the legislation to establish the Building Energy Efficiency Standard. The low-income weatherization program was brought under Alaska Housing's care, and in order to consolidate housing programs and reduce costs. This program has been providing free energy efficiency improvements to income-qualified applicants ever since. Now, the funding for this program comes from the state and federal level. For the last roughly 6 years, the majority of the funding has come from the state for this program. HFC does not do any of the direct installs for this program or handle any of the day-to-day customer interaction. Rather, we work with 17 organizations, grantees, throughout the state, 4 service providers, and 14 housing authorities who actually handle all of the intakes and do the work. So if a client is interested and meets the income guidelines, they would contact whoever the service provider is for this weatherization program in their area. There are several reasons this program excels beyond the energy savings. The first is education. For example, the Interior Weatherization, they're the service provider in the Fairbanks area. They start off every client with a class. What this class does is it sets expectations for the program, talks about what changes are going to happen to the home and how to operate the home after the energy efficiency improvements have been done. It establishes a relationship, and it provides the client with valuable information that they can use, which will lead to a safer, more energy efficient home. And secondly, there's a health and safety factor. All the homes that receive weatherization services have a carbon monoxide and a smoke detector installed, as well as any combustion appliance like a furnace, boiler, gas stove, is making, they check it and make sure that it is operating efficiently and safely. Since 2008, this program has helped more than 15,000 homeowners across the state improve the energy efficiency and health and safety of their home. Now, I'd like to make a note that the majority of the numbers that you see in this presentation today, AHFC every month has an energy programs update report that we send out to all the legislators. So at the beginning of February, we will plan on sending out this report to all new legislators. It has up-to-date program unit counts, spending, and where the program is at financially and unit count-wise. All new legislators have been added to this list, so look for it at the beginning of February.
And if I may add, we do have a copy of the current one right now if you'd like to leave that with you.
Yeah. Representative Claiborne.
Just going back to an earlier, you noted the majority of the funding is state funding. How does it break down percentage-wise between federal and state funding?
Through the chair, Representative Claiborne. The federal funding since 2008 and primarily even prior to that is roughly between $1 and $1.5 million a year. The state funding to date since 2008 has been $350 million, if that puts it in context. So it is a huge disparity. It's the national program is a formula-based, based on population. So I believe, depending on the national allocation, I believe that Alaska receives somewhere between 0.6 and 0.8 of that fund, depending on what it is. But it is historically right around $1 million. Money.
Through the so effectively it's less than 1% federal money and 99% state money.
Through the chair, Representative Claiborne, effectively, I didn't run the numbers, but it's got to be close.
And then one last follow up. This is the contractors that you work with are the grantees. I think RuralCap is one of the ones. This is the same program that I'm familiar with. RuralCap doing work in Western Alaska villages and other parts of the state.
Through the chair, Representative Claiborne, Jimmy Ord. Yes, that is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Moving on. More than 185 communities have been weatherized since 2008, and especially notable are the communities in rural Alaska. Transportation logistics are quite challenging, but there are many benefits that weatherization services brings to that community. They hire local employees to do the weatherization work, so leaving them with valuable skills that they can use throughout the rest of their career. I briefly mentioned energy savings as a benefit of this program. The average energy savings for participants in the weatherization program is around 60 million BTUs a year, or about 28%. Just a quick to put million BTUs in perspective, the average home in Juneau is a two-star plus and was built in the 70s, uses around 187 million BTUs a year. The most energy efficient home Alaska Housing has on record is a six-star home that uses 11 million BTUs of energy a year. Moving on to the Home Energy Rebate Program. The Home Energy Rebate Program is for existing homes and is open to all Alaskan homeowners regardless of income. This program was created from an earlier rebate program the state offered in the 90s. It is widely successful and offers up to a $10,000 rebate for qualified energy efficiency improvements. Basically, the way the program works is a homeowner signs up at akrebate.com. They enter some information, name, address, things like that. They choose an energy rater from an approved list. The energy rater establishes a time to come out and rate the home. They run a bunch of diagnostic tests on the home, take some inputs. All that information gets plugged into the AQUAM energy modeling software I talked about, and the homeowner is given a home energy rating certificate and an improvement options report. The homeowner chooses from the improvement options report as many items as they want to upgrade. The more items they upgrade, the higher they increase the efficiency of their home, and the higher rebate they get. They have 18 months to do all of the work. They can do it themselves. They can hire a contractor. After they're done making the improvements, they get back on AK rebate to schedule a post-energy rating. The difference between the as-is and the post-energy rating determines the rebate amount. The other sister rebate program Alaska Housing offers is for new construction. There's a $10,000 rebate for newly constructed six-star homes and a $7,000 rebate for newly constructed five-star plus homes. All the homes must be less than 1 year old at the time of sale or completion, and they must meet Alaska Housing's building energy efficiency standard.
Mr. Ward, on that program, so what has been the fiscal note for the new construction rebate annually the last few years?
Is that a net?
Mr. Chairman, it's not been specifically tied to that program. It's been an overall appropriation to HFC for the home energy rebate program, which the new construction is a piece of that. I want to say, Jimmy, do we have it broken out here? We do.
I don't think we do.
Not funding-wise, we do not, sir.
How about,
But units, we've done over 2,700 new constructions since 2008 through this program. And they are encumbered very similarly to the rebate program that once an application is done or they have a contract with a builder, they can submit their application and we set that money aside based on the ACORM from plans of what they believe that they're going to either get a $7,000 or a $10,000 rebate based on five-star plus or six-star. So we encumber that money for them once that application is in the door.
Okay, so what's the amount of funds left in that program? I imagine that would be a popular one.
It is a very popular one. Currently, right now, we've expended over $190 million out of the program. We have an obligation of people that are in the system with their applications in the door of a little over $33 million. And what that means is once their applications are in the door, the consumers have 18 months to go through the process and do the work. And one of the things in 2008 that we weren't going to do was let people get through that process and not have the money for them at the end. So that is that large obligation. I believe the current remaining balance of that fund is right around $28, $29 million that we are currently going through the wait list now.
Now, is that fund the same as the new home energy rebate and then the existing home rebate, same pot of money? Okay.
Yes, sir, it is.
Is that available for only owner-occupied single-family, or is it non-owner-occupied, let's say multifamily, duplex, fourplex, triplex?
Mr. Chairman, it is primarily owner-occupied. We will allow up to a fourplex through that process, but one of the units must be considered an owner-occupied if the owner does live in that unit.
Okay.
We will rebate up to a fourplex through that program.
Okay. And how does that work? I've heard that the contractors use that. So they're built to a five or a six-star energy rating. And so how do those funds become available? Do they go to the consumer that buys a single family, or do they go to the builder? How does that, mechanically, how does that work?
Mr. Chairman, there is a couple of scenarios that happens. Some builders go out and do spec build, and they'll go out and build, 20, 30, 40 homes, and then they use their realtor to go through that process and sell. And again, once they have a buyer, then that buyer comes in the door through the application. We have many scenarios where there is kind of a pre-sell option where the consumer that's buying brings a contract in from that builder and will encumber at that point. Once we have the paperwork in, though, there is a 12-month process that the house must be complete, and we must have that application done, and it follows our mortgage guidelines internally of the 12-month. So it can happen either way.
And it's typically, are we about 100% compliance on the builders, or I would imagine they're targeting this?
Mr. Chairman, yes. It is a very, very popular program. And we believe that most people are trying to achieve this rebate.
How long will the money last, if all the builders are taking advantage of this?
As the trend shows, since the inception of the program in 2008 with this large influx of funds, we've done, 2,700 units. So We've seen, you know, it really is going on an up and a downhill curve. We're not projecting that we're going to see several thousand homes built over the next couple of years. So on that trend, we believe that it would maintain and last for definitely the next fiscal year.
Okay. Rep. Tallarico, did you have anything?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you.
This is Jimmy Ord. Moving on, looking at some of the program costs for the home energy rebate program for existing homes. The average homeowner has an investment in their project of around $4,792 after the rebate. So the first number you see, the $11,681, is roughly the overall average of investment energy efficiency improvements minus the rebate and the as-is and post-reimbursement. What this does is it allows the homeowner to have some skin in the game, which was always an intent of the program. If we take that homeowner investment and we calculate the average energy cost savings that the homeowner realizes, their payback, their simple investment payback is going to be right around 3.3 years. Now, in communities with higher energy costs, like Fairbanks, for example, that payback is going to come down. And specifically to Fairbanks, the simple payback is right around 2 years, which is very beneficial because then after 2 years, they have that money to spend on whatever they choose. Stimulating an economy. As we've previously mentioned, more than 22,447 homeowners have received a rebate. If we take the average investment of $11,000, we come up with around $262 million invested in energy efficiency improvements for the home energy rebate program. This is on the lighter side, we believe. It does include the honey-do list, if you will. You know, the energy efficiency improvements are going to trigger other purchases at the store. And the savings for the home energy rebate program for individuals after completion are around 100 million BTUs a year, and it averages right around 34% energy savings. Let's move on and talk about the public program Alaska Housing has.
Excuse me.
Yep.
Madam Pritchard.
Okay. I'd like to have more specific information on the waiting list for the two different programs, or I should say, including the sub-program of the new construction under the rate rebate program. A total of how many on the waiting list, and what's the estimated wait time, and then a breakdown by geographic area. Are we giving priorities to those geographic areas that are experiencing especially harsh weather and especially high energy costs?
Through the chair, Madam Co-Chair Vasquez, if I may. So the home energy rebate program is the same for every participant across the board. There's no different preferential treatment for location. However, there is an issue with no energy rater in a community. So if there's no resident energy rater in a community, then HFC has a policy in our guidelines that says if there's three interested participants in the home energy rebate program, HFC will sponsor an energy rater to come to that community to give them the ability to have an energy rating and participate in the program. In regards to the wait list, we dispatch around anywhere from 80 to 100 names a week for the home energy rebate program, which currently is right around the same number of people who sign up for the program. So the wait list for the program is somewhere in the 1 to 2 week range. And that has been the, and John could correct me if I'm wrong, but for roughly the last year and a half or so, that's been pretty consistent for the rebate program.
How about the other program, the weatherization?
Do you like me to?
Just real quick, I believe with the weatherization program, we would have to check with our grantees, the organizations, to get an accurate count of their wait list that they maintain. We do have some of that information available, but it's not immediately available.
If I could add, this is John Anderson again, Madam Co-Chair. We also rely heavily on those agencies to maintain those wait lists and work plans moving out into the future. They are the ones that are really the boots on the ground, the regional housing authorities. They know their communities' needs better than anybody, and the partnership and the outreach component of that partnership is proven very, very beneficial. Unfortunately, we can't do all 300 communities at one time, so we really rely on them to bring the need back to HFC and then work with them on an annual basis to help develop their work plans moving in from season to season.
Thank you. Representative Klayman.
Thank you. You said the wait time is 1 to 2 weeks before people respond, and that's been for the last year and a half. Was it slower a few years ago? Because I have memory of hearing stories about a longer wait. Was that the case, and what caused that change to occur?
Through the chair, Representative Klayman. I've been at HFC since the inception of the program in 2008, and there was a little story that we used to have to learn how to drink from a fire hose, and that really was the case. We had over 10,000 people on the wait list at one point, and the wait list was months. But as we have addressed a lot of the homes and the consumers that wanted to participate, again, in the numbers that Jimmy has told you, almost 23,000 homes have been rebated. We have seen the demand as far as the urgency of the program really go down. But it has been very, very consistent over the last couple of years.
This is Jimmy Ord. Moving on to the public program, Alaska Housing has, as you know, in 2010, a bill was signed establishing the Alaska Energy Efficiency Revolving Loan Fund. From that bill, HFC created a program which finances permanent energy efficiency improvements for regional educational attendance areas, the University of Alaska, municipalities within the state, and state buildings. It should be noted that Alaska Housing was given the ability to loan up to $250 million for this program, and that the money was to come from using HFC's bond authority. We were not given a state appropriation for this amount of money. The way the program works is borrowers obtain an investment-grade audit, which is much like an energy rating, but for commercial or public buildings. So then from that investment-grade audit, there are energy efficiency measures that are identified, and then the borrower would go through and look at which measures they want to have financed, and then we would finance any of those measures that would prove energy savings. All the improvements must be completed within 365 days of loan closing. Currently, the HFC board has approved two projects, of which we are waiting for commitment on. We've also received a third project application, which is currently under review. HFC does continue to do outreach for this program and for public buildings in their energy efficiency use throughout the state.
Yeah, Mr. Ord, Chair Culver here. So what's the utilization since the bonding authority was adopted, the number of energy upgrades for public buildings?
Mr. Chairman, John.
Commercial energy buildings as well, right? Could be a private sector. No.
No, this is strictly for public facilities, school districts, and as Jimmy pointed out, it's state facilities, REA's university. This is not open to any nonprofit at this point. It's not open for commercial for-profit entities.
Okay.
It is strictly for public facilities. And to date, no utilization. We have, again, two loans that have went through and have been passed by our board with no commitments yet.
Okay.
And we have a third that is in the door. Now, what I would like to add on that, though, is with the creation and the development of the program and with the white paper and the in-depth audits that we did through that process, we do know that there have been over a dozen projects that have moved forward just not utilizing our loan portfolio. They've used their own reserve, they went out and bonded their own money, or they've had other means to actually move forward with the project. So we believe that the push regarding the standard and the process to do energy efficiency on commercial buildings, even though this is strictly for public facilities, is really at the forefront of what we're, our outreach and what we're trying to push here.
A follow-up, but what's the interest rate on, is it market, or where are we at right now with interest rates on this type of loan?
Chairman Culver, the loan just a couple weeks ago that went through our board of directors at HFC was for $3.7 million. And it was for a multi-facility upgrade process in Chichina, Ernstein, Gaucan, and Elchina, Paxton on different maintenance shops and maintenance facilities, airport buildings. 3.79, and the interest rate on that one was 3.625.
Okay.
That interest rate is based on tax-exempt bonds, and it's the cost of AHFC doing business.
Okay.
There is not an intent here for us to make.
Right. In the past, I've heard that it was kind of a field that we didn't have a lot of commercial energy raters in Alaska. Is it difficult to hire someone with those qualifications to do the energy rating on, you know, commercial buildings, public facilities?
Mr. Chairman, no, it is not anymore. When we started this this program and the passage of SB 220 in 2010, I believe that there were two or three CEAs, is what they're called, or Certified Energy Managers, or CEAs, Certified Energy Auditors, that are accredited through the Association of Energy Engineers. I believe to date we have now 60 or 70 of them in the state.
Okay, thank you. And then another follow-up. So typically there's several private sector ventures that will come into a school or a commercial building, and they will do your energy audit, and then they will work on your plan to reduce energy costs, and it will be paid for with the savings in energy costs. It's kind of a contractual relationship. Do we see more public entities, school districts, commercial buildings going to that model rather than bonding, financing, and improving it themselves? Is that what, you know, the lack of utilization may indicate that is might what's be happening in the marketplace?
Mr. Chairman, I believe you're exactly spot on with that assessment. The ESCO model, or the Energy Savings Performance Contractor, is that model that you refer to. They are large entities, the Siemens of the world, Johnson Controls, Ameresco, and they're used to handling very, very large projects. Now, what we've seen for the most part is they have been involved up to date with some of these bigger projects, especially with Department of Transportation through their procurement and RFP process. One thing that we are currently working on and hoping to have an RFP out on the street very soon is for development services companies for smaller projects.
Okay.
Just exactly for the reason that you spoke to. When we go out to Bush, Alaska, there might not be as big of an issue or a need to address the whole building when we're looking at a 50-year-old boiler. So we are working on that right now and hoping to have that RFP on the street within the next couple months.
All right. Let me offer you a follow-up, if I may, and a hypothetical. So we have $250 million in bond authority to the Alaska Housing to finance commercial building energy upgrades. Have we looked at what if we open that up to nonprofits and just the commercial sector as a vehicle for them to upgrade their buildings? I think we might be able to improve utilization and then utilize the services of Alaska Housing's expertise. For instance, tribal entities and other Native corporations, any building out there that could benefit from increased efficiency and use your bonding authority to bring in low interest financing and then project management skills of the of Alaska Housing.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that we would be open for those discussions. I'm not 100% sure, and we do have Eric Havelock on the phone that might want to chime in to help me here, talking about the tax-exempt bonds versus taxable bonds regarding the entity that we're actually going after the money for. The way that we can use the tax-exempt is because they are public facilities right now. So moving down the road for other entities in consideration for for-profit, even non-profit in certain cases, depending on their status of a C-12 or C-17 or C-9, it could affect that. But I do believe that we are willing to look at and are definitely open for discussions.
Well, I'd appreciate some backup on that, and if we can investigate that concept. Seems like we're not utilizing the bonding authority, and as we, I think our goal of the Energy Committee is to provide energy relief to Alaskans, and we need short-term plans and long-term plans, and energy conservation is one of the short-term plans that we hope to help move along.
appreciate that. We will definitely, Mr. Chairman, get back some information regarding them concepts.
Thank you. Rep. Clayman's got a question, and then keep going.
So it's a follow-up about the underutilization of the funds. Is it that the commercial lenders that have apparently worked with some of the entities that could go to AHFC, are the commercial lenders competitive with AHFC's rates, so they may be going to the commercial lenders? Or I guess I'm trying to get more of an explanation of why the underutilization, and I recognize it's a newer program and maybe it's just taken time to catch on, but why aren't some of these local municipalities, or for that matter the state government, taking advantage of this opportunity?
Through the chair, Representative Clayman, we have heard of a couple of commercial banks coming in with a better rate, better funding structure, but honestly, we're not 100% sure of the underutilization. We know that we have been had a very cash-rich capital budget over the past few years, and programs have been funded. So we are anticipating that this is going to continue to increase to be a more popular program as we move forward, especially in the financial situation we're in.
Mr. Anderson, through the chair.
Yeah, go ahead.
I will again focus on underutilization of this program. When was this program enacted, the effective date?
Through the chair, Madam Co-Chair, it was in 2010 under SB 220.
SB 220, okay. And who's the manager of this program?
It would be myself, I guess. I'm the director of the department, so they answer to me.
So, Mr. Anderson, so thus far, it appears that only $3.7 million has been approved?
Has been committed. That is correct, Madam Co-Chair.
Okay, and that's for airports?
It is a combination of maintenance shops, snow removal equipment building, airport maintenance shops, a greater warm storage building, a three-bay, but mainly it's all tied to equipment and building envelope modifications.
And again, through the chair, I would like to see a plan of action to increase participation in this loan program in these times of tight fiscal deficits. Every agency that qualifies for this should be looking at this. And I would, as a starting point, perhaps a survey sent to department heads and a follow-up. Everybody is busy. I'd like to see some real follow-up on this. And a game plan, how we're going to increase participation. We'll probably want to coordinate with the governor's office and see where they want to go with this. But it's been now, we're in 2015, and it's a shame that only $3.7 million has been used out of, we've got to get the ball rolling. In other words, we've got to get a lot more aggressive out there. So I'd like to see a very detailed report of what the plan of action is, of course, in coordination with your head of, and the governor's office. Thank you.
Madam Kutcher, we will follow up.
What would be the projected time? We have a very short legislative session, so we would...
I believe, Madam Co-Chair,
3 weeks be sufficient?
I believe that would probably be sufficient.
You can forward that to our two aides. Mr. Co-Chair, any other comments?
No, I'm just good. Try to...
This is Jimmy Ward. Moving on, I just wanted to give you a quick... background, because really in 2010 when SB 220 came out, really little was known about energy use in public facilities throughout the state. So Alaska Housing utilized, actually just coincided very nicely, we received stimulus funding through the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act at the same time this bill came through. So what we did was we utilized some of that funds to benchmark the buildings, the public buildings in Alaska. And what do I mean by that is, look at the square footage, who owns the building, what it's used for, how much energy does it use, so on and so forth. And we benchmarked 1,200 buildings throughout the state. We had done investment grade audits on 327 of those public buildings. So we started to sort of paint a better picture of what the public building energy use was in the state. Some of the results have, you can see up on the slide, The estimated energy cost at that time was just over $641 million to the public each year. Average savings per building was around $25,000, with total savings equaling around $125 million. Pretty big numbers. Some of the outcomes that resulted in an in-depth study that AHFC put together, which is called Energy Use in Alaska's Public Facilities, and again was the result of all of those audits and benchmarking details. There's approximately 50 recommended energy efficiency improvements that were identified for consideration. A few of them were to adopt and enforce energy codes, which protects consumers and promotes health and safety. I've already talked about the benefits of tracking your energy use through a building monitoring system, as well as establish a level of accountability. Some operators do not know how much energy is being consumed or used. Give them the tools and resources they need to control their energy use. Moving back into the residential sector, a few programs that Alaska Housing offers for homeowners to benefit for the savings of energy efficiency improvements. First is an interest rate reduction. HFC offers an interest rate reduction for anyone who decides to buy a new home that's a certain energy efficiency level, or if they're going to buy an existing home and make energy efficiency improvements to that home, they can receive an interest rate reduction for doing that. For example, if you were to buy a new six-star home that was not connected to natural gas, you could receive a 0.5% interest rate reduction up to the first $200,000 loan amount. Another tool HFC has for homeowners is the second mortgage for energy conservation loan. This provides financing for energy efficiency improvements. The applications and all of the work is done through one of our approved lenders, the Alaska USA Federal Credit Union. You can tie this program to the home energy rebate program, meaning the actual rebate will go back to paying off the loan balance. So they can dovetail pretty nicely. What it does is it allows homeowners to make a larger investment in energy efficiency improvements, resulting in better savings. One of the biggest components Alaska Housing has is education. We focus heavily on education for consumers, for the professional industry, and for our kids. First, I'm going to talk about the kids briefly. We have an Alaska Energy Smart curriculum, which focuses on why we need energy, how energy is all around us, how to use energy wisely, and we work with a few of our partners to integrate this into different schools and classroom settings. All the lessons are aligned to grade level expectations, or Alaska grade level expectations. We also offer classes for consumers. So for those participants in the rebate program or weatherization program, you can take classes. They're found weekly in South Central and Fairbanks. And of particular note, with the consumer education classes, we found that consumers that take these classes on basic building science, doors and windows, will actually save 9% more in energy after making the energy efficiency improvements and participating in the rebate program over those participants who don't take the classes. So education has been very valuable and proved very relevant to maximizing your efficiency upgrades in the program. And then finally, we offer classes for professionals, whether you're a realtor, lender, architect, or engineer. We have classes for those entities. All of the work we would do would not be possible without the participation of our partners, from the monthly meetings held with the Alaska Energy Authority's Energy Efficiency Group to better integrate resources, provide better programs and services, to the relationship we have with the Cold Climate Housing Research Center in promoting and advancing healthy, sustainable, and durable housing, to education trainers and software developers, to the energy raters and weatherization providers throughout the state. Much of what we do would not be able to be accomplished without their help.
Yeah, if I could elaborate on that, I think that's a critical key component that without our outsourcing and our partners and our contractual mechanisms, what we've accomplished over the past 6 years would not even remotely be possible. Partners like Cold Climate Housing Research Center and doing the studies that they work with us on, our interaction with the Alaska Energy Authority on the consumer demand side of energy efficiency with their programs, it's critical to and I think prudent to let you know this is not just AHSC, this is a big group of people behind this effort.
This is Jimmy Ord. In conclusion, I'd like to leave you with several statistics that sum up what investment energy efficiency can do. There's more than 40,000 homes in Alaska that have improved their energy efficiency, resulting in substantial savings. Not only does an investment in energy efficiency improve savings, but it boosts jobs and provides a boost to the economy. More than 5,000 jobs have been created in the home energy rebate and weatherization programs over the last 6 or 7 years. And I know, again, the BTU number is a hard one to comprehend, so on the lighter of things, I'd like to leave this presentation with the 3.2 trillion BTUs saved is the equivalent as if every household in Anchorage in the Matsu Valley decided to pack up and drive their car to Key Largo, Florida every year for vacation. Thank you. If there's, we're available for questions.
Any questions by the committee? Rep. Klayman.
Just one last question on the second to last slide. What does that come to in dollar figures as opposed to gallons and CCF and barrels? What does that equate to in dollars? The last slide about savings, annual savings, how much is there, or program savings, and also how does that translate to how to an individual household on average?
Through the chair, Representative Klayman, earlier as far as the percentages on household would be at 20%. One of our focuses is really on the energy aspect, and this last slide showing these big numbers was just a tally effort. We didn't tie the actual dollars to it, but it wouldn't be hard. I mean, what 558,000 barrels of oil at $48 a barrel oil is would give you a result. So we didn't do that in this exercise. We just wanted, we're really looking at the mass volumes of the energy statistics is really what we try to focus on this demand side. So I appreciate the question.
Go ahead. Well, just to follow up, I actually, when I'm talking to folks in my district, it actually makes a real difference to be able to say, you know, the average home in Anchorage or the average home in Alaska is seeing an annual savings of, you know, whatever, hundreds or thousands of dollars in energy savings. Because that, I mean, these numbers, these mean some level at some level, but for the average person in the community, they're actually much more concerned with how much am I savings and when I make this investment, how long will it take me to get paid back for my investment?
Through the chair, this is Representative Klayman. This is Jimmy Ord. Just to let you know, we do have pretty good detailed statistics on the actual average cost savings for homeowners participating in both the weatherization and the home energy rebate program. And just as a quick recap, the savings for a rebate program on average was around $1,400 a year. And I don't think it was in the presentation, but the weatherization program is a little less in around $1,300 savings per year.
Brooke Vasquez, co-chair.
Yes, going back to the Alaska Energy Efficiency Revolving Loan Program. I looked at my calendar. The three weeks takes us to February 24th. If you can come back and just quickly present your game plan. And then as a dovetail issue through the chair, my co-chair has mentioned he would like to see what can be done to expand this to nonprofits and to commercial buildings. So I'm sure you're going to have statutory revamp, statutory authority and analysis of what type of bonds you can issue, because some bonds you can issue for nonprofits, or et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, and the estimated cost to the state of any would be helpful. So if you can present at the same time, in a nutshell. And going back to Representative Klayman's comment, well taken, I would like to see in print the actual, in monetary terms, the cost savings. Because when we do go back to our districts and we explain to people what these programs are about and how cost effective they are, they think in terms of not BTUs, they think in terms of dollar. I really want to take it up to my...
Representative Klayman, thank you.
Actually, a little follow-up on Representative Vasquez's suggestion. There's probably actually three parts. One is the annual savings. What is the average investment in either retrofit for the existing homes or the new construction, but what is the actual investment for the energy efficiencies? And then that translates to what is the average timeline for basically earning back your investment? Because I guess, well, actually, there's the fourth. How much are they getting refunded from the rebate program, which speeds up the time in which the homeowner would get their investment returned? But that picture, I think, is very helpful for consumers understand that, you know, I guess the example is if you invested $15,000 in energy efficiency, you got up to 5-star, I guess you'd get roughly $9,000 back, and then you would save roughly $1,300 a year over, and so it would take you, if I'm doing my math right, about 4 years to get back the investment.
Through the chair, co-chair Vasquez and Representative Klayman. Answer is yes to both your questions. We can elaborate on some of these statistics that we have in here. We can break that out by census area. We can break that out just about however you'd like to see. Pretty easy, and I think that we could also present both of these at your request.
Thank you. Two questions. The governor mentioned in his state of the budget speech that he was including money for weatherization. Do you have anything on that for the committee, and does that include rebates? Is that the weatherization program?
Mr. Chairman, yes. I believe that the governor's resubmitted capital budget includes a $3 million for the energy rebate program and a $6.6 million for the weatherization program. And based where we currently sit, again, with this legislative update and document that we'll provide you here in a minute, we believe that we are fine through the next fiscal year. One of the unique things with the weatherization program is we operate in about an 8th or 9-month lag based on last year's appropriation because of the timing and the issuance of the grants. Our grant issuance is April 1st. So by the time the money gets to us this year, this money that we're working on that's in the budget this year is actually going to be next year's grant cycle. So right now what we're working on is the 2015 allocation and the budget. So,
okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, there's been some great technology improvements, especially by the Cold Climate Housing Research Center. How can we, and you deal a lot with HUD, how can we work with HUD to implement, you know, these standards, these construction methods, better technology for their projects throughout Alaska, the HUD homes? Would save all our consumers a lot of money if we can get a well-designed house spec'd out by the Housing and Urban Development Program.
Mr. Chairman, we actually do work very, very closely with HUD through many of our programs. Goal, our supplemental housing program, ties directly to the NAHASDA dollars that come directly to the regional housing authorities who build probably 90% of our rural housing stock out there. Those projects and all developments have to meet our energy standard. So we believe we have seen an improved benefit to the cost and to the quality of those homes that are going on out in rural Alaska. And it's not specifically rural. Cook Inlet Housing is one of our largest in the Anchorage area, and they do many developments also. So we try to interact. In fact, me and Jimmy was just over to HUD's office a week ago, providing them with an overview and a presentation of the housing assessment study that they plan on sharing with all of their individual communities also. I believe that they are, you know, they're trying to do the right thing with some of the other programs. They're looking at appraisal tools nationwide through HUD. They're looking at green development through HUD and a couple other programs that they have. And again, we're involved in where we can, especially when it comes to HFC money. We believe that the BEES, or the Building Energy Efficiency Standard, is the key. And we've just seen a dramatic shift in quality of construction because of that standard.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Well, thank you for providing us with so much information, and look forward to working with you on reducing the cost of energy for Alaskans. You guys can sit down.
Just thank you.
A couple quick housekeeping measures of the committee. Do the members, anyone prefer to have their packets for the committee in paper? Right now we're electronically submitting them. If you would rather have them delivered to your office the day before in paper, just raise your hand now and staff will make note of that. Otherwise, we'll just continue to send you an electronic packet.
I just want to make sure, I know there's different views about iPads coming into the committee hearings. Make sure, are you comfortable as chair with us bringing iPads with the electronic?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. I'm okay with that. It's kind of the member's preference. A number of us like paper. you know, it hasn't sunk into me how you kind of keep track of stuff that you put in the iPad for later use, but I see a lot of old hands around here working, doing that method.
It won't sing in for me for a long time, but I'll keep trying.
Well, we want to recognize that Representative Wool is here and Representative Tilton. We're just wrapping up. We had a lot of good information, and maybe if you got a couple minutes, you might want to chat with our folks from Alaska Housing there. Rep Vasquez.
I just have one question.
Okay.
Sorry. Mr. Co-Chair, of Mr. Anderson, I would like to also see a total budget for each of the programs, the new home rebate, the existing homeowner rebate, and the weatherization, and the breakdown of what goes in grants, and what are the administrative costs in implementing these programs, a detailed breakdown. And I'm curious, through the co-chair, do you have any quality assurance measures that you utilize to ensure that we're getting value for what we're doing?
Through the chair, Madam Co-Chair, absolutely on all of them. We can provide that information, and we have a very in-depth quality assurance process within both programs. We have energy specialists within the Research and Rural Development of Alaska Housing Finance Corporation that do a lot of on-site with the weatherization program. We do 10% of physical monitorings of each unit that is done. And with the rebate program, we do a 100% desk audit review of every new construction that comes through our door. And for the as-is or the retrofit program, that's really, if we have an issue, then we'll go out and do something there. It's really a streamlined program on that one, so it's not as in-depth. But we definitely do desk reviews on most everything.
On all three, through the co-chair, all three programs, desk review?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you. So our next meeting is Thursday, 29th of January, 10:15 here. We're going to be looking at two concepts: independent system operator for managing the flow of electrons in the rail belt, and there's been a concept for a transmission co-op, and we'll be looking at that as well. And then Rep Vasquez, you had someone coming in to speak on financing of energy projects?
Yes.
And that was, can you enlighten us the name of that person?
Yeah. We have Mr. Steve Klein, who's from the East Coast, and he has extensive experience in financing energy and infrastructure projects. So thinking outside of the box in these fiscally challenging times.
We... Yeah, in light of that, so it's going to be a full calendar. We may run a little bit longer than 12:15, so if that doesn't impact your schedule, or 12 o'clock, you know, with the number of presenters we have, we'll try to roll quickly, but we might run a little bit long on the next meeting. With that, we'll be adjourned at 11:25, and...